Welcome back to the Hydrogen Bar. Welcome back to your favorite podcast on hydrogen and fuel cells. We are very happy that you have found the time and listen to our newest episode also in this week. Hallo Johannes, it's nice to see you again. Nice that you have made it this week again.
Hi Martin, also nice to hear you again, and we are very happy to hear also André again. Very welcome, André.
Thank you. Hello Martin, hello Johannes. Good to be at the Hydrogen Bar again with you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So we have started to talk about your project Heavy last week, which is, just to describe it in a few words, more or less a blueprint or a copy, if you will, of the project Char-In, which aims to standardize the charging process for battery electric vehicles. And now with Heavy, you're aiming for standardizing the refueling process of heavy duty hydrogen vehicles. Was that
That's right.
Yes. Also, yeah, that was the right description.
You are already a heavy expert, and
that's nice to hear. Yeah,
it's a good summary of what we discussed last week. So yeah, we want to use our lessons learned and our experience from Char-In to, even if copy is a negative word, but it's the best of, let's say, of Char-In, and to use it as a supporting vehicle for the hydrogen stakeholders and hydrogen industry to avoid some mistakes which had been there in the past in the battery electric part, and which also can drive these wonderful technology of hydrogen to a next level in the future. And to get, it's not like it's always we have to be careful with standardizing things. I think there are a lot of very well-known organizations who are doing the standards, but if you roll out a technology and the market scaling is quicker than standardization processes, you have two options. One option is you wait for the standardization process, which is quality-wise a very good and well-organized process. Don't get me wrong on that. But you need to put filling stations around the globe into the world, on the streets, into the harbors in between. And there's the mismatch. And then you need to avoid wrong investments, to avoid wrong technology in the places, and to secure for the customer interoperability between the systems and the communication, you need to have a cross-industry organization who says, this is our view, this is our requirement, this is what we want to put in place on our own, this is what we expect to be done by investors, by governments, by others, and then you get a lot of scalability, a lot of certainty into the market, and this supports the technology at the end.
You said now just, or you talked just now about the word interoperability. Now, this often is mentioned with charging of electric vehicles, but now it comes also up in the topic of hydrogen. Now, in electric vehicles, I kind of understand it, because basically everybody can put up this charging pile in his own garage and charge his car however he wants. In the hydrogen area, we are still bound to having really these filling stations. So isn't it there a far smaller problem? And I mean, maybe first, can you explain again to the listener, in case they don't know, what is the interoperability?
Mm-hmm. It's in the battery electric part, you have a very good example. Tesla was one of the first ones with a product on interoperability, and they on electromobility. So they brought the Model S to market. Of course, there was an i3 and some others, but it was not the scaling like we see today. And there were very, very limited recharging stations only. And you are right, to transfer power, it's more complicated, or it's more a new use case than transferring liquid or gas hydrogen. Definitely. But it's still, you had the interoperability issue of Tesla decided the technology existing that times, the basically Japanese technology, is not sufficient enough for our customers. So they built up their own infrastructure with their own plug, with their own protocol as well. And this brings you to the scenario that a Tesla can charge at a Tesla station. And then there were adapter created and things where you really, from a technology point of view, think, okay, is an adapter with, I don't know, 250, 300 kilowatt really the solution for a customer to transfer energy? Is this a use case? And you are right, this is more the electromobility, battery electromobility vision. But the basic interoperability problem is not the physical layout of the plug. This was solved later. It's a communication protocol. So how do you identify, I'm this car, I'm this charging station, let's exchange some basic information. And this is what we also see in the hydrogen refilling. You need to exchange some basic physical parameters like temperature, pressure, duration, and so on. Maybe this is okay for the moment to exchange that, and to exchange that also, it's much less communication necessary than when you exchange power and ampere and voltage and things like that. But at the end, you have maybe scenarios in future where you can use also this refilling, and you can make different contacts, you have different business models, you get information, updates, back and forward into the filling station, into the car. So the whole world goes digital, and data is the new oil, and you all know this kind of words. And this is why, let's say, an industry decision should be there. We want to copy basically the existing diesel and petrol infrastructure. I'm with you. Maybe you don't need a very sophisticated protocol. You still need interoperability with what pressure, what temperature, how many kilogram per minute, things like that. But maybe you don't need this protocol. Mm-hmm. But what you need to take in consideration is, my vision would be that every customer can go to every petrol station. Mm-hmm. And there is no need of a certain contract, of a certain, I don't know, adapter filling, nozzle and things like that, and also the communication, which is already existing, I guess via infrared in the most cases, a minimum kind of communication should be there. And this brings me to the next point, which is, if you transfer parameters and data, and maybe in a later stage also relevant customer data, you need to secure them. Mm-hmm. And you need to make sure that these kind of personal data cannot be hacked or cannot be used in a bad way. And this gives additional security layers and additional safety measures, which automatically will bring you to a more sophisticated protocol. And this back to 6 years back with Char-In, it was the same decision on the table. We can use a very simple CAN-based protocol to exchange the information. Also, that times it was a scenario to use that for the plug and the transfer of power. But then the decision was made, there are use cases in future where we need to have a more secure and more sophisticated communication. Then the decision was done to go for an ISO 15118 standard. And it's the same for hydrogen from my point of view. You need to decide now as an industry. I'm a believer of the industry should decide in the favor for the customer what the best is. And you need to decide, maybe also the answer is, yeah, we go for a more simple protocol. It might be the right answer for hydrogen. I'm not the expert, but at least everyone who has relevant stakes in there should sit on the table and also should support this idea to avoid that one company has this solution, the next company has this solution, and then we get a very fragmented market scenario at the end.
You mentioned that the relevant stakeholders should sit on the table and should discuss this within heavy, of course. But isn't this already happening within other groups and projects? So for example, we have the Pride project, which is funded by the European Commission, which also brings together, of course, the relevant stakeholders from the industry. We have the activities on the level of the ISO, where we have some activities are going on for creating the ISO 19885 norm series. And we also have quite a couple of projects are going on or about to be started on the level of Hydrogen Europe. So where do you see the necessity or the benefit that a project like HEAVY would be able to provide when comparing it to those other activities that are already going on?
Mm-hmm. And exactly this question we ask ourselves when we started. Is there not any group working on that already? And we found, as you mentioned some of them, we found a lot of groups and consortia which are discussing this topic. And again, it's a lot of going 6 years back, but again, 6 years back, also CharIn was not born alone on the world. So there were a lot of other Forum Electromobility, there was ASEA, there was energy clusters, there were projects, EU-funded and so on. So there were a lot of, let's say, network activities also addressing on an agenda which is very bright and very very big portfolio. And the decision was done, no, we need to focus on this protocol topic in an extra association because we want to do it also globally. And we found, maybe it's existing, as I said, I'm not the absolute expert in that. We didn't find, with discussions with relevant stakeholders, we didn't find the one organization which is handling heavy transport globally, including marine players, including enough infrastructure players, including also the storage and the distribution. So everyone has a certain layout and also a certain focus. And everyone also has somewhere on the agenda, yeah, we also need to consider the protocol and the standard preparation. But our focus is more only on protocol and globally. And this is something where we believe it's not existing in the moment. That's also which proves this a bit for me, is this interest from the industry, which we see in the communication with the partners. Of course, as I said last week, it's some time, or it needs some time, and also some relevant players to bring interest into commitment, financial-wise and also expert contribution-wise. But if there were one organization also already doing this with all the relevant stakeholders, then my feeling is that we wouldn't have so much interest in that topic.
There are like a lot of different players in this. You mentioned last week that you're looking into ships, into airplanes, into trucks. So I guess that the how much hydrogen you fill in is definitely a very big variation. Are there also other big differences in how you approach these applications? I mean, in our pre-discussion, you brought up the point of charging scenarios, for example. How would you describe this field that you are there in? And how do you also align them, that basically we have then the goal of HEVI is, of course, then to have this one standard from the big airplane to the normal truck, right?
Mm-hmm. And this again is the experience out of CHAR. And I personally was really skeptic when CHAR in raised up the idea for the first time to say, hey, let's introduce this technology to the manufacturers of boats, of vessels, of airplanes. And maybe it was a good timing, maybe it was a good approach, but we talked to these kind of companies with an, let's say, passenger car product. And they were happy to get the support because they were on a stage to make a decision. How do we want to recharge ferries, for example, or airport support engines and so on? And of course, they have an interest to at least check existing technology instead of reinventing the wheel and create mm-hmm. their own technology. There might be use cases, I don't know, regarding safety and lifetime cycles and so on, where you maybe need to make a product a bit different. But let's say the core of the technology, the core of the products can be the same. And the benefit for everyone is that this increases market volume. This increases also competition. This increases, but also space for new technology steps like automated charging. You can put it also on hydrogen with automatic refueling, with scenarios like very quick and let's say more expensive, so different business mm-hmm. models. And I think from a technology scope again, every industry more committed to a certain communication protocol, to a certain chipset, to a certain standard, saves cost because the products are similar, they are standardized. Plus, you need, for example, as an OEM company, if you have internally the experts who can implement software stacks and implementation for battery electric trucks or buses, and they use the same protocol for hydrogen, it's a lot of synergy. So you don't need another expert for a different protocol for mm-hmm. hydrogen. You can bundle resources, and that's, let's say, the advantage the industry maybe don't see right from the beginning, but this is a bit our task to tell this experience and this very positive blueprint to see this added values for mm-hmm. everyone.
That definitely looks like a lot of work that still needs to be done. What is your schedule for the HEVI project? When would you think can we see the results of such a project?
When you ask my partner, CFO of the company Innos, he would expect last month.
Right, but of course.
but genau, and this is always then, I mean, as I explained last week already, also this week, this is born out of our idea and our experience. And it's, of course, if also the values are there and we can explain them, you need to have, or you need also to convince the especially big companies to commit on that. And you need to have the big ones and also support the smaller ones, definitely. And if you start to invest into a new association and to bring people together, which might have not been sitting on the same table in the last years, it's also a question of trust, and trust needs some time. So really from the effort point of view, we put a lot of effort into this idea, definitely. And it would be good to see a ramp up of HEVI and the kickoff of HEVI soon. But when I see it realistic, it will take a couple of more months to form this group of maybe 10 to 20 founding members to bring them together. But maybe there's also a delay of half a year or 1 year, can also be the case. But I don't see it in 3 years or in 4 years, because from my point of view, it will be too late. I mean, everyone want to see refilling station. If you see the EU plans for the next time. So there needs to be a setup of infrastructure. And the worst case from my point of view would be if there's infrastructure built up, which might be a bit old fashioned in 5 years or in 10 years. So it should be the right things in place. And this drives us. So back to your question, I see it in the next, I would say, 3 to 12 months to start with that. That's my personal feeling, because you need also to build the trust in that kind of steps.
So that reminds me, we should definitely schedule a follow-up discussion with you then in a year. Is there like anything else you would like to share about this heavy project, or any kind of call to our listeners, how they can get involved, what they should do?
Feel free to advertise your project at this point. So
yeah. Yeah, now if this was not a podcast, a video conference, I will now put up my roll up and tell the nice sales word. No, it's an open invitation to the stakeholders. If you share this idea, if you share this idea of the cooperation is the key in the future, and let's do it together to at least synchronize the protocol activities. Then you found some more information on the website, heavy.global, or you can contact me directly, and I'm happy to answer the questions. And again, we are in a stage of forming this 10 to 20 companies for the beginning. And if the ramp up is there, my experience with a lot of other projects in this kind of field is, if you have the starting point is the most, let's say, critical phase and critical point. But if you have the starting point, you also bring it to success at the end. And my success point would be if hydrogen has a real impact on our climate situation, on CO2 reduction, on a very generic, but on a better world, on the transformation of mobility at the end. And we could bring our part in with, hey, let's synchronize these standardization and protocol activities out of the industry. So that's really my, a thing from my heart.
I think that's a perfect ending, right? Mm-hmm. and a very good and a very nice message that you have sent out to our listeners. So thank you very much for your time. Once again, it was a pleasure for us discussing this very interesting project with you. Johannes, is there anything you have left to say?
I have nothing to add. I mean, it was really interesting. Maybe the one question that I still had in mind, especially after our talk last week, is that you basically have been involved now in 15 years or almost 20 years of kind of hydrogen developments in Germany. Can you give a short statement how you perceive this, what happened in the last years, and what is the situation today? Maybe as a final remark, that would be interesting to me. But otherwise, it was a very interesting insight.
Happy to do so. So I have a personal, after this 15 years of experience, hydrogen was always there. But to be honest and fair, there was never a real technology breakthrough seen on from me personally in the last 15 years. But I guess since 1 or 2 years, there's such a strong commitment from the political side, from the stakeholder side, to reduce the CO2 and to commitments in that I think we need this technology. We need this technology in the big industries. We need these technologies for heating, for all the different applications along the whole value chain for energy storage, transport, and using it. And I guess even if it is nowadays in public a bit, let's say, controversial discussed versus battery electric vehicles and so on, I see use cases in certain areas of the world, in certain applications, especially in the heavy truck, in the bus sector, in the airplane sector, in the marine sector. So there is a chance to help this technology break through and to have a better world at the end. And I feel that the next 1 to 3 years are very, very much the proof of this concept or the proof of this vision to the future. If we don't manage it together, the next, I would say, 1 to 3 years, I need to say somehow, okay, then it's again 5 years after commitment, and it's taking too long. So it's really now the time to get hydrogen kicked off. Not only heavy, also the hydrogen technology.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Was definitely a good, another good closing remark.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Martin and Johannes. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for sharing these insights. It was really nice. To our listeners, if you have further questions, feel free to get in touch with us, and we will connect you with Andre. We have, as always, our contact form on the website or the email address contact@hydrogenbar.de.
Well, thank you very much for listening once again, and we'll hear each other again with the next episode next week. Goodbye. Until then.
Bye.
Bye.